Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Good morning and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Deanna Potter, your host and strategic powerhouse for Sassy Sales and Business Development. And with me today is our leading lady, Debbie Wright, with Motech Auto Care. Good morning, Debbie. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Deanna. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Our topic today, I'm really excited about. Our topic today is the three P's of business breakthroughs: purpose, people, and of course, profits, because that's what we're all in business for. And you know what, Debbie? I got to tell you, I first have to tell you, I feel like I'm on the phone with a celebrity. I really do. Because in my eyes, you are a celebrity. And for those who don't know, we need to say right out the bat that this year's Sue Talks, for those who are unfamiliar, if you've heard of those other talks, that TED guy, we in San Diego launched last year something called Sue Talks, and you and our May event down at the University of San Diego were one of this year's official Sue Talkers, and you blew the roof off that place. And I just want to say congratulations. You were absolutely spectacular.
Thank you so much for those kind words.
Yeah, your story is amazing, and we're going to touch on a little bit of that today. So, I mean, that's what this is all about, is hearing women in business who are really leading the way. And, you know, success is something that we all make look so easy when we're there or when we're doing it. But, man, oh, man, don't we all have a story, right?
We have a huge story. And, yes, yeah. You just got to focus on the good, and it is working, right?
Yes, and you did such a great job at talking about that when you were giving your talk. As we find our purpose, finally, if we're lucky enough, people always have to give us our opinion, and you did a great job of saying, I didn't focus on the bad what-ifs. I think you said you focused on all the good what-ifs, right?
Exactly. You got to just keep moving forward one step at a time.
Yeah.
Even
so
through
tell
all
me
the
a
hard
little...
stuff.
Oh, gosh, all the hard stuff, absolutely. So tell me a little bit about where it all started for you, your background. Let's call it the early days of Debbie.
The early days of Debbie. Well, I was encouraged to go to college, and I did graduate with a degree in marketing, and after that did get married. We worked a few years, and then I had kids. It was the best. I had a son and then eventually four more kids. I was very fortunate to be able to stay home, but as the kids were growing, it just was an unhappy marriage. He wasn't involved. He had some depression issues. I was doing most everything anyway, all the parent events and such. I didn't want my kids to grow up in a relationship like that. So I felt it was best for us to separate, and we eventually divorced. And that was tough because I was able to stay home and had to go back to work. So
and
I ended up hopping job to job, these little jobs, these men, they were mean, tough, sole proprietors. And going through all that, I eventually ended up working at the dealership and then at an independent car repair. And that's where I decided to formulate my plan that I should work for myself.
And just to pause for a second, because I know you said it and I heard it, but I just want to make sure our listeners heard. You had your son and then you had four more. So here you
were. I had
were.
Four more kids.
Yeah, so that would be a total of five if my math are still strong enough. Okay.
Yes,
so you were
a
mom of five kids. Wow, raising five kids. And can you give me an idea how close are they in age?
They're all 2 years apart. My oldest one
wow.
is now 28. Yeah, they're doing amazing. And it was years of football games and cheerleading and wrestling and soccer and tennis and being at most every event.
Wow.
All the parent classes, all the parent days at school. It was a lot of work. But I don't regret anything. I loved every moment.
Where were you pulling your support from? Because, you know, we're talking purpose and people, and, you know, we say it takes a village. That would take a village, you know, five kids.
I couldn't have done that without my mom. God bless her. She'd pick my kids up. She'd take them where they needed to go. She'd watch them when I needed some help. And my sister Stephanie was amazing, too, always there when I needed a hand. I've had some great friends along the way. And as it got easier as the kids got older because they could watch each other and I could leave them home alone. And a lot of friends, so a lot of carpooling.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about those jobs and some of those bosses. And you were saying, you know, they weren't always the nicest guys. What were some of the situations that you experienced in some of those moments?
I worked at a flooring contractor, and it was just honestly me in this room with the carpet squares, and he would be out and about selling his jobs, and he'd call me on the little Nextel and order this, do this. And one day, yeah, he ripped the phone out of my hands and screamed into the phone, how'd I order carpet, and found out I ordered it correctly. Apparently, they brought it out on a different truck than the one he wanted it on. Then they were going to transfer it, and he had a fit about that. And he just, you know, he was making a lot of money, and I thought, man, if this jerk could do this, so could I. So I left that jerk job, and I ended up at a guy who installed phone systems, and he had this whole office full of these old phone systems that he treasured. And he was really tough. I remember not being able to leave one day to go to an award ceremony for my son. And after that, I quit. And I would still regret that I couldn't go to this little award ceremony.
Wow.
Because he wouldn't let me leave for an hour.
Wow. You know, it's interesting because we can remember the good bosses we had if we were lucky enough to have one or two. I have some. I have a gentleman by the name of John Tower who was a supervisor of mine when I was in a telemarketing job years ago. To this day, when people say, you know, can you remember somebody who was a good leader? I will always remember him. I reached out to him on Facebook about a year or so ago. I adored him. He was great. But boy, I can also equally remember three or four bad bosses too. But I think they all teach us something, good and bad. Isn't that amazing? They teach
amazing.
Us the kind of boss that we want to be, the kind of leader. Now I like it that we say leader much better. But, yeah, you look back and you go, mm-mm. And it also teaches us what's more important to us and, you know, how much admiration I have for you to be able to say, I regret that I didn't get to go, but I also quit because I knew that this wasn't going to work for me. So, you know, kudos to you. So
I was trying to find my home for myself, right, a place to belong and contribute, and it just wasn't those places.
Yeah. So tell me, when you got you started working for an automotive place. Remind me again, it was car sales?
Well, I worked at the dealer where I was on
the phone
behind the salesman calling customers, come back in for this car. That was hard on my daughter because it was an every other weekend job, and she wouldn't see her dad, so I had to get out of that job. So I was hired at an independent car repair where we fixed cars.
Okay.
And I felt I was very underemployed there. They had a service writer and they had employees, and I would just do QuickBooks and pretty much sit through a boring day. While I loved it, there was no place for me to go. There was no future. And while you're making maybe good money, I thought in 5 years I'm still going to be making this money, and it wasn't any place for me. So that's where I started actively looking. I got in the car and drove around, and I told people I was going to buy a shop, and I honestly didn't have the money or experience, and I drove around town looking, and I looked at a lot of places. They'd want a lot of money cash and no set of sales, no history of sales. And eventually I came to this place, Motec, turned the corner, and I thought this could work for me. It's big. There was room. Office space was cute, big windows, and I thought this could be my place. So, yeah, I made an offer and was so nervous that I pulled my offer and then thought it out long and hard, but I had nowhere else to go, right? So I thought, okay, I'm going to do it. And he accepted my offer.
Oh, my
like
gosh.
That was a wow moment.
Wow.
That was a wow moment.
Okay, so I have to pause you because you're absolutely, first off, you're adorable. And I love the risk you took and the tenacity you took it with. But what only us as women would go, I saw it. I turned the corner. I looked at it. There it is. It had the space I needed. It had, you know, the amenities, but you described the office space as cute. It had office space, and it was so cute.
Exactly. Well, and as you go around, when you focus on something, you go around and look, you kind of get is a sense of what you don't like and what this will work.
Yes.
And so when you come here and you see, oh, my gosh, there's a room where I can have events in the office. There was a lot about it that was potentially great.
Yes, but I loved that. That was great. So you're saying that you made the offer and then you pulled the offer. Tell me what was going on for you there. What made you, submit it, take the effort? You saw it, you felt that it was the right thing. You put the offer in and then you pulled it. What was going on?
I just didn't know if I would be able to pull it off. I owned my home. I didn't have the cash. I actually pulled the offer, and I actually offered again lower. And I felt better about that offer.
Interesting. So when they called you and said, okay, you got it at a lower price.
I got it at a lower price.
Oh, that had to feel great. And
it felt great.
At the same time. Scary and great.
Exactly.
Wow. Wow.
Definitely. And then I had to make it work because I didn't have the funds. So I had to, hustle up some, some debt.
I had creative
financing.
There you go.
Yes. I had to hustle up some creative financing.
Wow. Wow. So the offer gets accepted. Here you are. You now officially own a auto repair shop. What happened? You walk in that day. Are you on your own? Do you just try to figure it out?
What was I thinking? I walked in. The owner stayed with me, so he called me to tell me, and I came up here, and he sat with me about 6 weeks and, trained me and showed me what he did.
Wonderful.
And how to do things. And then after that, it was trial by fire.
Wow. How many employees did you have at that point?
At that point, it was just me and two technicians. And then at one point, one technician didn't want to tech anymore, and he left. And then it was finding another tech. And so running ads and finding a tech, and then that one I had to let go. And so employees have been one part of the equation.
Do you find that it is one of the top challenges is finding and maintaining good employees as a business owner?
Definitely. And technicians, younger kids don't seem to want to be technicians. So it is a small decreasing pool of people who want to be a technician. But when you find the right one, things are great. So I've been through several technicians, finally just recently hired another great guy. So I have two right now that are wonderful. And I've been through a few employees in the front office, too. I want someone who's great with customers and who has a little incentive to, help me push the business. So I'm at a good spot now with a female in the office with me and these two technicians.
Good. Nice. Good. Always with plans to grow. Wonderful. Growth and profits. Good. Tell me a little bit about, we'll call him the past owner consultant leaves. There you are. You're, as I know, I've heard you say, the new girl on the block, and you liked it. It was good. So now you've got to kind of get to know the other businesses in the area. What was your plan, and how did you approach it?
I created some flyers. I thought, okay, there's two target markets up here for me. There are several. It's very industrial in nearby 2 miles, so there's a lot of fleet vehicles. So I came in to a couple of fleet vehicle companies, and they stayed with me. One has moved away, so I need to replace that. But there are, plumbers and electricians and internet people. There are companies that have fleets. So I'm going targeting fleet vehicles where they bring their trucks to me. And the other one are employees that work in the neighborhood. So it's another flyer trying to maybe coupons or educate people that I'm here and I can pick up and drop off your vehicle.
Okay, great service.
Yes, there's a lot of people work in this neighborhood. So it's, drop your car off, we'll take you to work, we can pick you up, or you get a ride back when it's ready to go.
Okay,
and that's my
great
plan, service your car while you're work, save your weekends for fun. No one wants to deal with car repair ever.
Ever, ever.
Ever.
Never, ever. Were you making any good connections with other businesses and owners at that point?
That was hit or miss, but I did walk into an office and I met these two amazing women who are great friends now. They truly, and I said that in my speak, but they truly knew how I felt, and I feel like I could just, chat with them, and they understood how tough business was and just to keep on going and encourage me. And they, you know, said some things that were so positive to me when I needed to hear it the most, that I treasure these two women.
Wow.
And what's really interesting is you never know where one door will lead. They've introduced me to another great opportunity, and I'm going to move forward with some targeted YouTube commercials and some other show-type ideas that I'm just still planning with him. But, yeah, that
was
a great connection.
Wow. Wow.
Yes,
that's wonderful. Yeah, big time wow. Jeez. So tell me, as you're making these connections and you're starting to do this, at that point in time or from here on out, what are some of the plans for you and what are some of your intentions with this? Because, you know, a woman in we talk about women in male-dominated industries, but I don't think it gets much more male-dominated than the automotive industry. I mean, we can say tech and we can say some engineering, and those are all very true. But automotive, this is really, really strongly based in a, you know, male industry. Talk to me about some of the positive experiences you've had and maybe not so positive. Are there, like, organizations that you are belong to in what you do?
Yes, there are. And you're right. In this, I am in a complex of other auto repair shops. I am the only female in this complex. There are a lot more female in the industry. A lot of them are married to their husbands who work the shop, too, so they work in conjunction. And yet there are a few women who are now owning and running their own auto repair shops as well. I did join the Automobile Service Council of California. When I needed advice and some strength, I decided to join this organization. And it's a group of amazing shop owners that play by the rules, and they lobby for businesses up in Sacramento. So I am the vice president of that association this year, and I go to board meeting and meet with other shop owners. And that really has been one of my best sources of information. They will share their referral card program. They will share how to do this. They'll share markup ideas. Anything I ask for, they're willing to share because we really aren't competition. There are a lot of cars on the road. And these guys have been just really the best source for me, and I've really enjoyed participating and hanging out with those guys. So that's been
wonderful.
One for me. It's been really great, and I'd advise anyone to get into their local association for whatever industry. And then, obviously, I joined Connected Women of Influence, and that I have met the most amazing women. And the connections and other people like me, maybe different industries, but they understand how I feel. And that has been such a great group of women. It's very motivational when I go listen to someone else and their success. It makes me feel good because, yes, women, let's do it.
Yay, I know. It's the anthem. I love it. You know, it's like one of the things that I do, especially in business coaching, I tell people, find an organization and an association within your industry. I don't care what you do. There are associations for everything, taxidermy. I mean, I don't care what you're doing. There's a national association for it, I guarantee you. And there are ways to learn more and get support and education, and I couldn't agree with you more. And I loved what you said about the fact that you've found an association where we're not in competition. Think about all the cars that are out there. If you can find a group of people that have that mindset, it can be such a blessing and a support to your business. So happy to hear that. That is wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you.
What are some of the next steps for your business? You know, what's kind of your mission out there in life with, you know, cars and people? And, I mean, who is your niche? Who are you going after from a business perspective to hopefully help and all that good stuff?
Well, it's a twofold. Because this neighborhood is so male-dominated and there are a lot of fleet accounts, you know, one of my target markets is a fleet account. The other is educating women. I cannot tell you how many women have told me in this networking group or that they just don't know who to trust. So that is what I want to be. I want to be that resource to educate women on who to trust. Whether you come to me or not, these are the tools you need to know. These are the questions you should ask so you will feel comfortable about that repair. Because this is the deal. People come in and they don't want an upsell. But if you come in and I don't tell you that your thermostat housing is leaking and then later you blow a head gasket, then it's my fault. So it's not that I'm trying to sell you on that, but maintenance is always cheaper than a big repair. So you want to hear, you want to find a good shop and hear what's coming up. You don't have to do it today, but maybe on your next visit where you can save money to repair that. But it is true, cars are made up of parts and they are a maintenance program for cars to save you from a breakdown. So that's why I want to educate, because I hear that over and over. I don't know. They sold me all this. I'm not sure. And some of that truly is a legitimate repair. But what bothers me is women need to know what happened and what was fixed and why, so they believe that it, so they understand that it was a legitimate repair.
Yeah.
I want to get out and do some car clinics for women and do these lunch and learns in my neighborhood.
Oh, I love the idea. I love the idea. See, I grew up around cars, and my husband and I met on a blind date many, many years ago because we were both into old cars, and he was a mechanic. So I know cars. I'm comfortable around them. But I'm amazed how many of my friends, and as I was in my 20s and 30s, how scared and insecure and frustrated women are about having to deal with their vehicle. And when they find a mechanic that they trust, it's like the woman who does their hair. It's like their nail person. They will go across the county to them for the rest of their lives because they trust them. So loyalty in that area is very strong too, I have found with women, because there is so much unknown and fear for them. So I think you not only have a smart business plan, you are doing a very honorable service for many women out there because it's so important. I couldn't agree with you more. So I think it's a wonderful thing. It's great. And please share with everybody the statistic you told me about what the gender numbers are out in the work, or I would call them, I don't want to say workforce, but client base. That's it. The gender numbers in the client base for you out there.
And I did some of that research before buying a repair shop, that women make up more than half of the auto repair service buyers. So half the market is women, and some rely on their husbands. Some husbands don't know. So it is educating women so they can at least make an informed decision. And that, by far, is what's needed out there. Even my kids would call me, my car's overheating, my oil light's on. I'm like, go pull it over. They're not in town with me. Otherwise, they'd be bringing their car to me. They're away at med school and college and calling me. And especially before the business. Now I know. You get over to that shop and you call, you take care of that. And before I didn't know what to do, I'd have to say, let me call you back, call a friend, say, well, she's got this issue, what do I do? I'm educating these young kids off to college, too, so they just, don't get stuck with a breakdown somewhere.
Yeah. So that's what you're looking to do from a purpose standpoint. And behind the scenes from a business standpoint, helping some of the business owners on the phone, what's happening, behind the scenes with the company?
My growth is, it's every year there's an increase in my growth. I've cut my expenses through that first year. I learned what I need, what I don't need. I cut a lot of expenses. My profits are where they need to be per those classes. My sales are up every month, and I'm always still out hitting the road, meeting my neighbors, continually marketing, joining this group or that, see what works for me. But I strategically, sticking to a 5-mile radius in my neighborhood.
Well, I'll tell you, I think that it is so important that every one of us is very clear on our numbers, those KPIs, those key performance indicators. And what impresses me so much about you, Debbie, is that you know exactly where you are headed and how you're going to get there. And that's why when we were talking about, what would the title or topic be, that whole purpose piece, finding your purpose, you've had people that have supported you and people that you've met and people you're connecting with. But the profits, you're very clear on where you need to get to. I think part of it too is, and you and I have talked about this, when you had to kind of be creative to make that investment in a business, you also know you got to be very strategic about how to continue to build the business so that you can pull yourself out of the creative financing and really start to build for that prosperity. And you know what? You're doing such a great job, and I'm so impressed. As an opportunity for both you, and I truly believe an opportunity for anyone who's listening, if they want to follow up on you with you and ask you either questions about business, or more importantly, if they're local to the San Diego area and would love to bring their car in and take advantage of the wonderful services that you guys offer at MoTeC, how can they get in touch with you and just chat with you or do business with you?
Yeah, definitely. The company is, my website is MoTeC, M-O-T-E-C, MoTecAutoCare.com. You can email me at Debbie@MoTecAutoCare.com or give me a call at the shop, 858-578-4300. You can find that all online.
Wonderful. So I'm curious, obviously we're talking about women leading in business. What do you think one of or a couple of the biggest challenges we face as women leading in business today are?
Honestly, stepping out of your comfort zone and doing something even though you're not sure what direction to take. You know, as a mom, you accommodate so much with your kids, and then in business, you can't be that same accommodating. So you've really got to toughen up and set more boundaries, and it's business. It's not that same thing as being a parent. It's a lot tougher. You've got to hold other people accountable, more so than you would your own kids, right?
Wow, that's such a good point. That's a really good point, because I truly hadn't thought of it that way, that we are kind of softer and more accommodating at home, and not that we have to be this, you know, hard person all day long, but you're right. We have to be much more direct and kind of hold the line more. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm trying now not to second guess myself, make that decision, stick with it, and be a little more firm even. Yes, it's a different feeling.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I'm at graduation this weekend for my niece, and we were talking with some family. And I was talking to one of the younger people in the family, not her, somebody else. And I was saying, you know what, as you get older, you just learn that this happens, that happens. And they were second-guessing themselves. And I said, oh, you do that at any age. I said, I was second-guessing myself last weekend. My husband said, you're just having a crisis of confidence. And I said, what a great term, a crisis of confidence. You're right. We all have those moments. It continues to happen. It comes. You deal with it. You move right through. It's going to happen. That's always going to happen.
I think it happens a little more, too, because you get, you know, I'm learning to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And when you're uncomfortable and challenge yourself, it does feel a little hard to make a decision because you're not necessarily sure. But you're right. Practice makes perfect, and it gets easier and easier, and you just got to start trusting your instinct.
Yeah, great way of putting it. And I suppose if we're not uncomfortable, we're probably not growing and stretching. And how the heck are we all going to conquer the world without doing it, right, Debbie?
Exactly, right? We've got to each conquer our own corner of the world.
There you go. Each conquer our own corner. Well, I think we will wrap it up with that. Debbie, I want to thank you so, so much for being our leading lady today. It was my pleasure, truly.
Thank you, Deanna. I loved it. Appreciate
it. Thank you. Thank you. And a special thanks to all of our listeners, as we will be back again next Monday morning for another Women Leading the Way radio show. We're here every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Our leading lady next week will be Karen Dietz, CEO of Just Story It. And the topic will be, what's the story, the pros and cons of traditional publishing? And I have to tell you, Karen is a friend of mine and a remarkable woman and a best-selling author. Just fantastic. You guys will not want to miss it. I'm Deanna Potter, your host at Petite Powerhouse for Sassy Sales and Business Development. And I thank you for listening. I hope you have a great week, and I look forward to hearing you on the air again soon. Bye-bye.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.